The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Well, open your Bibles, if you would. Let's get ready to read Genesis 39, 1 through 23. So part of my job in my day-to-day work is hiring people. An applicant will come in to pick up an application, fill it out, list, perhaps bring a resume with it. They give me information, everything that I'm supposedly needing to know about who they are, what they're about, where they've been, their job experience, what they hope their future brings them in their job, in an effort to let me know who they are. But sometimes a written application can change some actual facts about people. Not always, not often. But there are times that we want to be someone other than who we really are. Someone who is more fitting for the job that we need to fill. I mean, we all need to work, want that income. But sometimes we sacrifice who we really are, who we might really become through using our real God-given talents just because it sounds so good to be something else, to take another job, a different job, another angle. Not always a bad thing, but sometimes it's not all truth. People simply fail to lean in to their real talents. And so, you know, we're going to read about Joseph here in just a minute, but so far Genesis has been loaded with characters, right? I mean, some wild stories so far. Some things you don't even want to repeat, but they're facts. These are real people. They have a real purpose, real part of our structure, oddly enough, today. Someone like Joseph, it's kind of fun to come across somebody like that all of a sudden in the path of all of this weird action in Genesis. So let's stand, if you would, please. Open your Bibles to page number 33, if you haven't already got it open. And let's read together God's Word. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house, and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was all on all that he had in the house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am. Nor has he kept back anything from me except for you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of the household and said to them, "See what he's brought among us, a Hebrew, to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out in a loud voice. As soon as he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried out. He left his garments beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in and to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted my voice and cried, he left his garments beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for a beautiful day to be together, Lord, and to just come together in the Word, especially into Genesis, and in particular to learn more about Joseph today. Lord, we thank you for the story that is involved in this man's life. And Lord, I just pray now that as we dig into this passage and as I unfold some thoughts, I pray that you would not let me distract from your Word. I thank you that we have this time that we can come together and do this study in one place, Lord. Forgive us where we fail you now, Lord. In thy name I pray it. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So, if you were to summarize in two words, if you had two words to summarize Joseph, how would you describe him? Just throw it out there.
He's strong.
He's strong.
He's brave.
He's brave. But he's blessed. He has integrity. The King James translation calls him a goodly man. Anybody reading from King James today? Yeah, goodly. I've never heard that. The Message describes him as a strikingly handsome man. But just about any translation that you look at is very clear about his integrity. It's very apparent that he has God's favor and that he is successful because of it. I mean, Potiphar, even in verse 3 and 4, points it out. You're successful because of your faith in God. Now, as far as we can tell, Joseph didn't fill out an application for employment to be head house servant or slave of the day or anything like that. It had to be his work ethic. It had to be the integrity that he brought to the job that made Potiphar see potential to promote him into being someone that he could trust with things. I mean, we read a paraphrased version, I'm sure. I'm sure that it didn't just happen overnight. Potiphar didn't see immediately that he could trust this guy that he just bought. But Joseph's integrity is a lesson that we need to learn from. You know, his integrity is a part of why people liked him, definitely what grew Potiphar to trust him. And the integrity that's in each one of us in our lives is no different. The people, probably the people around you, people in your work world, they watch you. They're studying you and evaluating your trustworthiness based on the integrity that you have already in you. So Terry and I, we were friends for a while before we started dating. And I remember that she said, when she and I first became serious, when we were starting to date, and I think that was about our first date, about each other, she made a comment to me that I've never forgotten. She said, "I like you because of the integrity you bring to the things that you do." Now, I'm not tooting my own horn here, because I thought she liked me because I was strikingly handsome. But no. But I learned something. I learned two things that day from Terry Harper, or Terry Keithley at that time. If I wanted her to believe me, believe the things I said, trust me, especially when I told her I loved her, I needed integrity. I had to walk the talk, basically. And I learned that that is something that she has even today, actually. I have to prove it. I mean, we're from Missouri, right? I got to show her. So the second thing I learned is I truly wasn't that handsome. And so I got over it. But you see, the things that made me who I was then and that I hope and pray still exist in everything I do today. I'm not perfect by any stretch, but I pray daily that integrity never leaves me. That's where I'm like Joseph. I need to know myself, who I am. So this brings us to our soul tattoo, which is, do you know who you are? So my first point is actually a question. I've got three questions for you today, and then another point. But the first question is, who are you? So today, there's countless people out there who are trying to understand what their purpose is in life. They're trying to find out who they are. I mean, to a certain point, I do that every day. I'm trying to figure out, why am I here? Why am I there? Who am I? What am I? I mean, you could find countless websites that'll help you learn these things. You can find books, all kinds of books that tell you how to solve every problem you've ever heard of. You can find documentaries, movies that help you figure out what your path is or what it should be. So that you can understand who you are. Everyone wants to find that answer. We even have a rock group that sings a song, right? Who are you? Got it in your mind now, don't I? So even the Black Widow of Marvel Studios, coming to a theater near you May 1st, comes up with an almost clearly appropriate response if you've been watching the promos. And that is, at some point, you have to choose between what the world wants you to be and who you are. It kind of knocked me over when I was like, man, I didn't expect to hear that from the Black Widow. So most of us have a good response already for when asked, who are you? I mean, we have a first and a last name. You know, this is Dan Anderson. And but when Dan hears his name, he responds. He reacts. You do too. But what is your response when you're asked, who are you to God, your creator? Knowing why you were born, what your purpose is, who you are, and being able to patiently wait on God's timing to tell you when to act and how to act is truly a blessing. And I think Joseph's life, we're going to see not only in this passage that we've read today, but future readings, he's got it. I mean, he's so confident and calm that it just staggers me that he could go through so much and then present in Scripture that he's cool. You know, he's just doing his thing, really. So that's really the only conclusion I can bring to Joseph in how he could do it is that he is so in tune with who he is and with what his purpose is in God's plan, that it gave him confidence to stand up and tell his brothers his dream. Oh, my word, you know, that it made him mad, but either he had no sense or he had true confidence in God that He was right in that dream. And his courage was in standing in faith was really impressive to me. We never really see Joseph worry about anything either in passage. He knew God was going to be with him. He knew God would be there through it all. So who are you? Who are you when no one is watching? Or when someone asks you about God, who are you at that point? Or when you're at work, away from your Christian friends? Do you carry it with you the way Joseph did? Our next point is, are you comfortable with who you are? Often, the hardest thing, once you realize what you're supposed to do or be, it can be very unsettling. Joseph had a good grip on that. He seemed to have it at all times. He stood with God always. Yes, Joseph knew exactly who he was, in my opinion. He was a God-fearing servant that had the desire to honor God. He respected his earthly boss, and he didn't want to do anything that would affect his witness, by the way. When he was approached by Potiphar's wife, he could have easily seen that as an opportunity. I mean, let's face it, right? I mean, he's in charge. Potiphar wasn't even more in authority than he was in that house. He could have arranged things to where he could have had his fling. No one would ever know. Just been their secret, right? The boss's wife doesn't want to let that secret out. But he was more concerned with his godly integrity. He was more interested in, he knew exactly what it meant to sleep with someone else's wife. He chose integrity. And by the way, he lived his life so in line with his purpose that he didn't even, in Scripture we see this, you could almost see it immediately play out. He didn't even hesitate when she grabbed him. He knew what to do. He didn't even take the time to pray about it. He just simply knew what to do, and that was run, Joseph, run. He got out of there. See, most of us, most of the temptations in our lives, they come from situations that we allow ourselves to be in. It's almost as though we want temptation. It's almost like we want to have to pray out our way out of a sin at times. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with praying. Praying should be the first thing you do, because that's where you're going to get your strength from God. But if you're living your life in tune with what God wants for you, you know what to do. And Joseph's example was just that. He simply walked away. God already places inside of each one of us that ability to make good decisions. We just need to choose to live that godly, integral life. So our next point, man, I'm moving on, is, do you truly represent who you are meant to be? I'm always amused by the Oscar show. Anybody watch the Oscars? I know some of it is not to be watched, but all that hype, you know, on the red carpet, the whole thing, the whole hours and hours of, oh, look who's coming next, all the costumes that are the clothing, I guess I should say, that they're wearing, the makeup, all that swag, you know, it's just really interesting to me. I love it. But I always wonder what kind of life those people have away from the screen. I mean, really. Are they really any different than you and I? At least that's what I think. I mean, do they enjoy takeout Chinese food? Are they addicted to watching The Masked Singer? Do they have a Hy-Vee fuel savers card? I don't know. Are they really any different than me? Do they worry about their health? Do they have real friends? Or do they listen to Weird Al Yankovic? I mean, are they really interested in what God has for their lives? You got to wonder. Every now and then, you see a story, a news story or an interview where someone steps out of protocol. It really blows your mind. I love it when that happens. When they do what's right, they say what's really on their heart. It just rivets me. It's good TV. I think Patrick Mahomes might be one of these people. Deep down, I know. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ or the Kansas City Chiefs. So we're going there. But over the past 2 years, he has caused Chiefs fans to really sit on the edge of their seats. I mean, he's really been exciting. He's scared us to death. He's thrilled us to tears. He's no shortage of entertainment. Over the past few weeks, the whole world has taken attention, as you know. And they want to know, it seems like everybody wants to know more about this unbelievable quarterback that the Chiefs have come across. But on January 31st of this year, in a room, when asked about his faith in a room full of reporters in Miami, Florida, Patrick made a statement that caught my attention. He stated that he is where he is today because of his faith. He said, "I understand that he's given me a lot of blessings in my life and that I'm trying to maximize them and glorify him. I think it's very important to be a leader of faith because God gave me a talent that I realize God gave me for a purpose to show my beliefs and to lead people to him. My faith has always been a big part of what I do. I've grown up in church, and faith really helps me. You know why you're playing the game, and you know who you're doing it for. I think it's allowed me to be who I am, being comfortable with who I am and showing my personality, doing what I do every single day, and then knowing that as long as I'm doing everything the right way, the way that he'd want me to do it, then I can walk off the field with my head held high and be able to be the man that I'm supposed to be." It's my hope and prayer that Mr. Mahomes is going to live his life as a high-octane, God-fearing, gospel-sharing quarterback throughout the entire NFL. Joseph, he's shown us that living a life committed to honoring God can bring blessings. We see that. They're not always financial, by the way. Blessings come in a lot of forms. Everything Joseph did wound up turning out good because he was in favor with God. We're also reminded that we're going to be tested. There's going to be trials. We know that. We all feel it in our lives. You can look back at 2019 and just at times you find yourself counting your trials more than your blessings. And they're not going to necessarily come in dramatic form either, like we see in Joseph's story here. I mean, he's living a pretty normal life, and all of a sudden he finds himself in a hole being sold. So here's my next point. Adversity doesn't always end with defeat. As we look at Joseph's life, he's always seems to have had some ups and downs in his life. At times, life was the pits. That was a joke. You're supposed to. Okay, thank you. I mean, he was the next to the youngest kid. He was a run of the litter, right? He was cocky at times, I suppose, if you were one of his older brothers describing him. And it wound up getting him bullied, thrown in a hole, and sold, right? I mean, it's not many can say that about their lives, right? And yet, something good always seemed to happen. Something great always seemed to come out of the problem that Joseph had. But Joseph would never have been Potiphar's headmaster had he never been sold as a slave, had he never had that problem. You know, God's miracles, God's actions always seem to come from a problem. And if you're someone that doesn't have a problem, then come see me afterwards. I'll pray for you to have a problem so you can have a miracle in your life. But Joseph is living truth of adversity doesn't have to be the end of the road for him. So Michael Jordan, never thought he'd end up in a sermon, did you? Michael Jordan, he was cut from his high school basketball team. Did you know that? Did you know that Albert Einstein couldn't speak until he was 4 years old? Or that Walt Disney was once fired from a newspaper because he had no imagination and lacked original ideas? Are you kidding me? What do you think would have happened to their lives had they listened to the world's opinion of what they are and not pursued their God-given talents, not sought what God wants them to be? We had a glimpse at that, what might happen, when Michael Jordan retired from the Chicago Bulls the first time. In order to play baseball. Anybody remember that time? Okay. Does anybody not know who Michael Jordan is? Right. Okay. So Michael Jordan played for a couple of seasons. He had a batting average of 202. He played 127 games. 202. After that time, he woke up, I think, went back to the Chicago Bulls to play basketball. To add three more titles for the Chicago Bulls, three successful years. To this day, his resume at the end of those 3 years is still one of the best records in the NBA. He was a six-time NBA champion, a six-time MVP, 14-time All-Star, 10-time scoring champ, and a two-time Olympic gold medalist. His last year with the Chicago Bulls, he averaged 30.2 points a game. 30 points a game. If you've ever played basketball, what was your average? You know? Don't answer that. I don't. So, again, I need to ask you, what would their lives have been like had Michael not woke up, got back into basketball, or Walt continued to pursue it? Or I don't know, maybe Albert Einstein hit himself with a rock and could speak. I don't know. But, and maybe your lives aren't going to be like Albert and Walt and Michael. Maybe your purpose is something completely different, but maybe it isn't. You know, you might actually be on a course just like them and others. The adverse things that happen in your lives are necessary to make you, to take you into the direction of the real purpose that God has for you. God needs us to experience adversity. Sometimes we're not that willing to change. We need to be derailed and put back on track. It's necessary to build our character. We need to stand firm in our faith and continue to let the world see God through us. So 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10 reminds us that it is necessary to have adversity in our lives. I think it's on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. But we have the treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. We can only toughen up by weathering difficulty. Trials are going to come. God wants our roots to go deep into the soil of adversity so that we can be ready, that we can understand where he wants us to go. You should take the example of Joseph of being content no matter what. No matter what circumstance you have in your life, they're not all pretty. But he was strong, he stood steady in his faith, and I think that more than got him through. James 1:12 encourages us to endure the test. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Our soul tattoo is very important. It takes us right back to the beginning. Do you know who you are? You need to stand firm. God will be with you. Let's pray. Gracious God, I just pray that these words and these conversations will enlighten your word and your purpose in our lives, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would touch us, each one, and that you will make examples of us for the world to see you. Help us to live our lives in a manner that is pleasing to you, Lord, and to not take our eyes off of you. For it's in thy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.